This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and thanks so much for listening. And that would include all of you patriotic Americans tuning in over there at the NSA. It's a moment of truth right now for the USA Patriot Act and determining just where the president stands on the issue of data collection from U.S. citizens by the NSA without their knowledge. Determining where the president stands is challenging. Once upon a time, right after the Edward Snowden leaks, President Obama seemed appalled and was anxious to reform NSA practices.
I called for a thorough review of our surveillance operations before Mr. Snowden made these leaks. My preference, and I think the American people's preference, would have been for a lawful, orderly examination of these laws, a thoughtful, fact-based debate that would then lead us to a better place.
But it's clear that some in Congress believe that those better places depend on keeping surveillance of U.S. citizens in place. Congress is running out of time to save two sections of the Patriot Act, provisions that this week the president told the nation he now considers essential to protecting national security.
I said over a year ago that it was important for us to properly balance our needs for security with civil liberties. And this administration engaged on a bipartisan, bicameral basis, talking to Republicans and Democrats about how we could preserve necessary authorities but provide the public greater assurance that those authorities were not being abused.
The Senate will convene for a rare Sunday afternoon session to work on a deal before key provisions of the Patriot Act expire at midnight. The most notable provision is Section 215, used by the NSA to justify collecting bulk data. That's the program Edward Snowden made famous, and the program a federal appeals court deemed illegal earlier this month. And it's also the very same kind of intelligence gathering the president campaigned to end altogether in 2007.
I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are.
Well, many years later, the who and the we in this instance are a little unclear. And so joining us is David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. David, do we know where the president really stands on this Patriot Act issue? And does there remain any consensus close to what there was when the Patriot Act was quickly passed after the 9/11 attacks?
Well, you know, after the 9/11 attacks, there was no question that Congress would pass just about anything, John, that President Bush at that time would have asked for. And of course, they renewed the Patriot Act some number of years ago, toward the end of the Bush administration, with very little debate and perhaps very little understanding on the part of members of Congress, other than those who belong to the intelligence committees and a few others, about how the act was actually being interpreted. So if you pick apart what the president said in those various clips, what's really fascinating about it is that for years, he renewed the applications to do the kind of surveillance, the bulk collection of telephone numbers, call records, and so forth, that's done under what's called Section 215. And that's the section that was that the court found to be illegally interpreted by the NSA. It seems very likely that when this is all done on Sunday, Section 215 will go away, and we'll go back to the way things were before the Patriot Act, which is that these records were just held by the phone companies, and they would have to respond to a specific court order. But the government couldn't collect them in bulk.
Do the cynics on the Hill and in the national security beltway culture believe that there's an easy workaround here, or does this really fundamentally change the way intelligence would be collected by the U.S. government?
You know, there's a dirty little secret to this, John, which is that the NSA didn't particularly care for Section 215, the bulk collection of this data, even before Snowden. Why? Because it was wildly expensive. And when you pressed people on it, they admitted that they had gotten very few terrorism tips from it. In fact, when a commission that the president put together after the Snowden revelations came back with their report, they could find only one case in which there may have been a terrorist attack prevented because of Section 215 bulk collection, and they even had doubts about that one. And, of course, in return, we were spending huge amounts of money to collect all of this data. So, you know, the NSA had a proposal afoot before Snowden to kill this program. When the president said later on, I really do need something to give up to the critics, the NSA volunteered this one as the sacrificial lamb. And in the other powers that the NSA has for collecting abroad, almost nothing has changed and probably won't change after Congress acts.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, John.
There is one person, former lawmaker, who once thought the Patriot Act was a dubious way of protecting Americans. Republican Dennis Hastert, former Speaker of the House, in fact, the longest-serving Republican Speaker of the House. Here he is speaking back in 2011.
We created the Patriot Act. It was not a popular thing. And I remember the Attorney General calling me up one day and said, I want to move this thing right away. And I said, well, wait a minute. It's got to go through a regular process. Jim Sensenbrenner was the head of the judiciary at that time. And he said, no, I want to go regular process. We're not going to give them carte blanche on this. So, you know, we went through that whole Patriot Act, and which was controversial because it gave the government the same powers against alleged terrorists that we gave them against the mafia. And so you could wiretap and do those types of things.
Well, some of those powers given to the government were apparently the way investigators were tipped off about an alleged Hastert payoff scheme to quietly funnel more than $3 million in smaller chunks to someone in return for not disclosing some bad conduct years ago. The information is contained in an indictment charging that Hastert lied to the FBI and tried to evade currency regulations when he withdrew money from his bank accounts. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, perhaps lawmakers will kill the Patriot Act after what's happened to old, frumpy, squeaky, clean Dennis Hastert, huh?
It was very surprising for a lot of people, and the irony didn't escape a lot of people. The one that you just mentioned, which is that Denny Hastert, a speaker, did help shepherd through the Patriot Act and in a lot of these banking provisions, specifically the ones, John, that prevent you from depositing or withdrawing more than $10,000 without reporting it. You can make those transactions, but you have to report it to the government. The reason that's on the books, apparently, is to prevent terrorists or people who would help them or people laundering money from circulating huge amounts of money that's unreported. Denny Hastert, at first, according to the indictment, after meeting with individual A, who's the person who apparently had bad acts done to them by Denny Hastert, according to the indictment, he had withdrawn $50,000. Then when he got asked questions by the FBI about those withdrawals, lied about it, allegedly said, no, I'm just keeping the cash because I don't trust the banks. And then after that, was withdrawing smaller amounts to get under the reporting requirement. That's illegal, according to the FBI.
Now, I hate to be a beltway dweeb here, but every report on this mentions in about, you know, the 10th paragraph that he, you know, was from Aurora, Illinois, was a teacher and coach in Yorkville, Illinois, before being elected to the Illinois State House of Representatives. Is that some sort of signal that this happened years ago when he was working at a high school?
Here's what the indictment says, John. The indictment says that individual A has been a resident of Yorkville, Illinois, and has known Denny Hastert most of individual A's life. Mm-hmm. It also says that Denny Hastert was a high school teacher in Yorkville before politics from 1965 to 1981, before he was elected to the state house. And then it says that individual A and Denny Hastert met in 2010 to discuss the past bad acts and agreed after those 2010 meetings to the $3.5 million in payments to conceal the bad acts. That's what the indictment says. Now, people, of course, are inferring a lot of things from what is and what isn't in the indictment. I can just tell you what's in there. None of the alleged bad acts, and I know that's a euphemism, they're not outlined in the indictment.
Right.
It doesn't say what they are or who they were against.
But you've helped us to decode things a little bit. I mean, if this individual A is found on a beach somewhere in Aruba, are they liable? I mean, is it illegal for them to accept this money, to make such a deal, Todd?
Well, I'm not really sure the answer to that, because actual blackmail, if that's what you want to call it, isn't alleged in the indictment. What's alleged in here is the non-reporting of the funds and the lying to the FBI. And there has been some criticism, incidentally, in the past of the federal government's use of the statute that lets them go after people for that $10,000 provision unless they can also prove that the thing that they were paying for was also illegal. And that has been controversial in the past. Again, whatever the past bad acts are, they're not alleged in the indictment to be illegal. It just says concealing prior bad acts, the withdrawals without reporting them, apparently illegal, and the lying to the FBI about it.
Well, certainly much of interest there on the Hill regarding Denny Hastert, but he's, you know, a figure of the past. What's the situation on the Patriot Act over the weekend? Do you buy David Sanger's suggestion that when all is said and done, the two provisions will go down?
It's going to be really hard for Congress to get to midnight on Sunday night when these provisions of the Patriot Act expire without them expiring. Here's where we stand. On the Saturday of last week, before the Memorial Day recess, in a late night session, the USA Patriot Act that curbs a lot of this bulk collection and provides narrower restrictions on the government for how they can search the surveillance data, got 57 votes. Mitch McConnell's straight extension of the Patriot Act only got 45. Of course, he needs 60 in either of these cases. McConnell is bringing them back at 4 p.m. on Sunday, and John, nobody around the Senate knows where it goes after that. I've talked to people in the leadership. I've talked to Rand Paul's staff. I've talked to staff of other senators, both for and against the Patriot Act and the NSA provisions. Nobody knows where this goes. People do think that there might be a couple of votes to flip toward the USA Patriot Act, but people like Rand Paul, they might object and want amendments even to that. So this looks like it's going to lapse, if not just for a couple of days. Going away entirely? Unlikely. Congress is going to preserve the NSA's ability to do this kind of surveillance in certain ways. It's not, the Patriot Act is not going away forever, but it looks pretty likely, unless they come up with a huge Hail Mary pass, John, this thing's going to expire at least for a little while.
And for all of the, you know, sort of double talk of the administration, the White House is staying above the fray here.
Oh, they sure are, because they want to, they're letting Congress have this fight. The White House has endorsed the USA Patriot Act, which got an overwhelming vote in the House, including support from John Boehner. So they're going to wait and see what Congress can send them. But it's not going to be likely before midnight on Sunday.
And we will wait and see as well. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Have a great weekend.
You too, John.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.